and gentlemen.
You are now tuned in to Mastering Mitzvahs.
Mastering Mitzvahs.
A podcast focused on creating the perfect bar and bat mitzvah celebration. Offering tips, tricks, and trends to ensure an amazing event. Mastering Mitzvahs. From New Jersey's own Explosive Entertainment.
Explosive Entertainment.
I know you're gonna dig this.
And here they are, your hosts, Dylan Weissman and Mike Langzer.
Good morning.
All right, Dylan, we're gonna do an early morning recording here on a Friday, nonetheless.
A Friday, 8:38 and 32 seconds in the morning. The workday hasn't even officially started, according to Henry Ford, 9 to 5s. What's up, man?
This is how you know that it's still summertime and we're not crazy busy, because we could afford the time on a Friday morning to do this. And actually, we're not driving our kids to schools and camps and all the other things that come with parenthood.
Oh, no. Noah's been dropped off since like 7:15 this morning. If she wakes up early, she's out early. Forget it.
Okay, well, you're a better man than me. So I love today's topic. In fact, I can't believe we haven't done a podcast specifically on this. I'm almost thinking maybe we did, but it's time to revisit it from a very different angle. And it's what goes into deciding prices. And I think it's so relative, because now is booking time. You know, like, how many people say, I'm going to book my party before the end of the summer? And then the summer flies by and all of a sudden it's the last couple weeks of August, and then they're in panic mode. Like, I set this goal to book a party and I haven't done it yet. So,
yeah,
you know, I know firsthand the reality of clients shopping multiple vendors. I mean, and we could probably do a whole other episode on some of our competitors are our friends, and we speak, you know, religiously about, you know, who are we talking to? But it's funny when we hear that we're all being shopped from the same people, and clients don't understand where the pricing comes from. So I think that's the goal of today.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people hop into these booking entertainment and think that it's the same price as it was 4 years ago when they did the first kid, or the more often one that I get is, we're not trying to plan a wedding. It's not trying to be so outrageous. And the fact of the matter is that in my experience, Mike, weddings are less expensive than bar and bat mitzvahs these days, especially in the Northeast corridor where we are the entertainment hub of bar and bat mitzvah entertainment.
Let's pause. That's a great piece when it's relative to entertainment. There are food and beverage or photography, videography. There are other things that I think the client is right. I'm not planning a wedding. I don't want to spend wedding money. And there are, but you know, weddings are going to be more expensive for a bar. You know, there's more adults drinking. You know, weddings might be more expensive in florals and in attire and invitations. But when it comes to entertainment, you know, totally different what's being provided. You know, a DJ for a wedding is often a single or two performers that show up with a couple speakers, maybe some lights. In the bar and bar mitzvah world, all of a sudden there's staging, there's a ton of lighting, there's televisions, there's dancers. I mean, our average bar mitzvah, we're showing up with a six-person team, where an average wedding is a two-person team.
So we're gonna get into all of that, but my favorite line that I hear that I'm constantly having to combat and educate is, we're not trying to have a wedding. We're trying to keep it, budget conscious or budget friendly. And the fact of the matter is that it's just families don't understand the full scope of how to price out entertainment. And we could be upfront with you, and we could help explain what these are. But until you understand the full gauge of how we price things out, I think it's going to be challenging for you to find value in it. So that's what today's goal is for you to understand how to price out entertainment and why the prices are where they are.
Yeah, where do these prices come from?
Yeah. So Mike, you made a really nifty graphic that I'm going to pop up here, and we're going to go over these, line by line or phase by phase. I don't think that there's any one particular order. I don't think that number one in this pricing factor is the most important or the most relevant to pricing, but I think all of them hold their own candle when it comes to how mitzvah packages are designed and priced out.
Yeah, well, let's use number one as the first piece that we talk about, because I may challenge you and say it probably is the most important on this list. Everything else might be shuffleable, if that's a word. But I think experience, you know, Dylan, do you remember what you charged for the first bar mitzvah you ever entertained at?
God, maybe 1800, like 1995, something like that.
Okay. And
in
how long ago was
2007 or 2006, somewhere in there.
And do you happen to remember what you brought with you?
I want to say MCDJ One Dancer and like no lighting and no staging. And it was like me doing everything. Like I don't think that it was a very quality show, if you're asking me.
I have the contract from the first bar mitzvah I ever did, and it was $765. Don't ask where that number came from. And it was a DJ and MC, two dancers, lights, speakers. I didn't have stages back then, but $765 for a four-person team. But that was, I want to say, 1995, if I dig up the contract.
Bro, I was 2.5 years old.
Thanks for making me feel nice and young here. But I wasn't good, though. Here's the point. It was your first bar mitzvah. It was my first bar mitzvah. You know, we weren't good, and our dancers weren't good, and our support staff, whatever we had, I don't know if you were the MC or the DJ, but the other person you brought with you wasn't good. The equipment that we had wasn't good. We didn't have backup equipment. We didn't have, a system in place, organization, coordination. So experience plays such a factor, because, as you get better and use more years behind the wheel, you could warrant a higher price. And I think that goes across the boards in any industry. I mean, if you're hiring an attorney, the attorney that's, right out of school versus the, very esteemed attorney that's been practicing law for 30 years with an incredible track record, who are you going to pay more for?
That's right. That's right. I'm paraphrasing the story, but it's like, I have a leaky faucet and it won't stop leaking. And I hired 5 or 6 different plumbers to come and fix the leaky faucet, and they all couldn't fix it. And then I finally bucked up and hired one who has a lot of experience, and he only spent 5 minutes on fixing my leaky faucet, and he charged me quadruple what everyone else did. And when I looked at the line items of the bill, it was $5 for turning the wrench. And then the rest of the bill was knowing how to use the wrench. And I'm paraphrasing the story, but the idea is the same, which is what does the experience do for you? It's how it plays a factor into it. And I think that is important when it comes to bar business. It's not plug and play. It's not just playing a playlist and expecting people to dance. Like, there's a lot of factors that go into experience that are just so deserving. I mean, let's put it this way, Mike. How many bar and bat mitzvah companies have an educational podcast where two of the partners have a combined total of experience of over, 50 years talking about this stuff? That's a part of experience. We have war stories for days that we can talk about.
Right.
So I think that's the point.
Yeah, Dylan, as we're talking this through, I have a feeling this might have to be a two-part recording that, part one is today and part two we record another day, because there's so much that we could talk about here. And let's just attack the experience for just a little bit further. Dancers, I think, are such a huge piece of this topic. A inexperienced dancer like the ones that I hired in 1995 to do my first party were a couple cute kids that knew how to dance and, wore all black. In our world, an experienced dancer has personality. They have tricks in their back pocket on how to get the guests to engage with them. They have all sorts of different you know, select things that they do that make their show unique to them. And we spend a lot of time in our training process working with the dancers on just as a whole, how to work the room. There's some choreography that goes into it. I think that that is so important. So, you know, the dancers as a whole, you know, man, it's crazy. You know, what an experienced motivator, we'll use that term, can do versus an inexperienced motivator. And we could go down the list here of all of the different entertainers that we have. Certainly an MC. I mean, gosh, an experienced MC and their ability to work a room is light years different than an inexperienced MC.
Yeah.
I'll have you pick back up on that.
Yeah. I mean, how many different situations have you been in? Have you dealt with tough adults who have a very specific style of music that they want while simultaneously juggling kids? Have you dealt with a catering staff who is very particular on their timeline and you have to work around it? Have you dealt with a photographer who is very demanding? All of that plays a factor into running a smooth celebration. And I think that you have to realize that it doesn't happen by accident. Great events don't happen by accident. We say that all the time. So I think that that's where experience really takes over. I mean, an MC, a dancer, a DJ playing the right music, it doesn't happen by accident. And the more reps you have at doing it, the more likely you're going to have a recipe for success. And the more likely you are to be flexible in the moments and make it seamless.
Yeah. I'm going to jump to number three, but we're still on the experience topic. And cost of goods sold, number three on our list for those that can see this visually. Cost of goods sold. In a lot of cases, we're talking about our labor. You know, what are we paying our staff? And their rates are dictated based on experience. I think I could speak vaguely enough about the industry and say an inexperienced dancer probably earns $75 to $100, you know, on their first party across the nation. In the New York metropolitan area where, you know, bar and bat mitzvahs are as good as they get.
We have to emphasize that.
Yeah.
The tri-state area of New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And we're actually gonna have a podcast with our friends from Siegel Productions coming up very, very soon to talk about the differences of the entertainment across the country. In New York, New Jersey, and Philadelphia, Bar Bat Mitzvah Entertainment is the best it is. People come to us in this area for education and for the design aspect of what makes a great party. And it comes down to our talent is as good as it gets.
Simple. So thanks for cutting me off. And but your point is precisely this. Their pay is dictated based on that experience and the expectations of that role. So I was saying an inexperienced dancer in the country might make $75 to $100 a party. But in our market, the best dancers are getting between $300 and $500 each to work a single party. So when you do the math and you say, well, I'm going to have, you know, four dancers at my party and I want the best the dancers that are out there, they could be earning as much as $500 a party times four dancers. There's $2,000 in just hard expense, let alone any profit.
And not only that, but it's not that simple because the dancers are one aspect of it. What about technicians and DJs and MCs? All of them get paid extremely well, especially the good ones. Mm-hmm. So I think that we have to realize that talent is expensive, and they get annual or quarterly or seasonally, you know, raises, especially if they're great,
And what keeps talent loyal to a brand is generally, you know, good core values with the company, and good synergy. But honestly, it all boils down to money at the end of the day. We have to pay our staff better than our competitors would to keep them working for us. And I think that most reputable companies would agree with that statement. You know, when you see somebody, Jasmine in Chicago, who's, you know, become a great friend of ours and runs an incredible company called Hype, she has MCs that have worked for her for 10, 15 plus years. And it's because they have a family dynamic, but they get paid better than anybody else in Chicago. Yeah. Hands down.
I mean, let's face it. Every year in any career, you're going to want a raise, both because of cost of living goes up, but also because you're better at your job than you were a year ago. So it warrants it. So let's not forget that. When we're talking about talent, a lot of times families will say, well, you're only performing for 4 or 5 hours. Like, our event is from 7 to 11. It's 4 hours. Or, you know, 7 to midnight. It's 5 hours. The reality is that's not true. I used to use a line a lot called, I don't do 5 hour celebrations. I do 1,000 hour commitments to your celebration. So this kind of combines cost of goods sold, event prep, perceived value, professionalism, experience. I think it involves all of it. So breaking it down, not including planning, not including processing, not including data meetings and going over things and creating timelines and going back and forth on music, not including any of that stuff. Often our shifts are at least 8 to 10 hours minimum, and it's weekends and it's late night. So if you translate that to like a corporate America job, that's overtime rate in a lot of cases, right? You have weekend work is normally paid more. Late night work is normally paid more. And it's still a full 8-ish hour shift, give or take. Sometimes we have, you know, 12 hour days, 15 hour days. I mean,
so the typical party is a 5 hour party plus 3 hours of setup, an hour or so of breakdown. So you're 8 to 9 hours on site, but then there's also drive time back and forth and packing and unpacking the trucks. So I would say that the performance team on site is devoting anywhere from 7 to 10 hours that day. That's the performance on site team. But the coordination team and the MC and the DJ, who both have a lot of prep work, put in plenty of hours prior to the day.
Yeah.
So when you start multiplying out, you know, for simple math, 10-hour workday times a 6-person crew, you're already at 60 hours invested into that party just the day of.
And that's just the day of. And one of my favorite things about Explosive is how seriously we take the pre-event planning. Our planning process is really, really, really dynamic. I think families love that, about how we have a great online portal. We have something that can be shared among the entire family with a unique login. I think there's a lot of value in that, where we are constantly in contact with you as a client, as a family member for us. If I showed you what my dashboard looks like on our CRM, I can see every time someone logs in, and that preps me and processes me to say, I'm going to reach out to them and say, hey, what have you been working on for your celebration? Getting to know you as a family, getting to understand how we're going to make your celebration different. So the pre-event time is really important to the way that we price this stuff out, because it's not just a 5-hour event. It's everything beforehand, which brings you back to the idea that I'm going to spend 1,000 hours on your celebration, give or take.
Yeah. You know, Dylan, Karen Walker chimes in here on Facebook and she says, you know, it's also holidays too. And Karen, thanks for saying that, because you reminded me of something I was going to say, is how many times we as performers are asked to miss our own family's events to attend other families' events. In fact, we schedule our own. My daughter's birthday party is coming up. It's being scheduled on a Sunday, not a Saturday, which would have been more ideal for all of my family and friends. But it's intentionally so I could go out and perform on a Saturday. So there has to be some cost factor given to that. The amount of, you know, sporting events of our children, or just personal, you know, like, Dylan, how many of your friends' weddings have you actually missed because you were performing at a stranger's wedding?
You know? A lot. Or, you know what, I've been very lucky. My family and friends know what type of industry I'm in. And in a lot of cases, they'll call me before they even book their venue. And they'll say, Dylan, what weekends are you available? can you, because I need you at my wedding or whatnot. Like, my brother's wedding's coming up in about a month. And the first call he made after he got engaged was, give me the 5 Sundays you're available between this time and this. So, yeah,
so let's jump on our list to number 7, reliability and professionalism, because we're talking about that right now. Hiring a professional means when they devote a date to somebody, they promise no matter what comes their way, hell or high water, they're going to be there. And using the term high water is actually a very appropriate statement, yeah. Because you and I have both gone through floods, but I could tell you the day that Hurricane Sandy destroyed my house, the next morning, I was out performing. I did a bar mitzvah while my house was being destroyed. I literally had a team of people ripping out my carpet and my furniture, and I couldn't be home to facilitate that because I had committed to doing a party. And, I'm not looking for a pat on the back, but that's reliability and professionalism. What if I would have called that same family and said, hey, there is an emergency at my house. I just can't do your party.
Yeah. I mean, how about the fact that, do you remember last February, my daughter was like pretty sick and we were in the hospital a lot. I left the hospital, went and performed, then came back. And here's what I really like about that story, because my 8 or 9 hour commitment that I was supposed to be, we were able to change that around so that I can come in, perform, and leave and get back to my family, because we had a really good backup plan where I didn't have to be there the whole time. We had other people that could take over some of those more unique roles, like setup and driving trucks and things of that nature. So you're also getting professionalism of an entire firm. You're getting everything that comes with it. So that comes with the pre-planning. And I mean, Mike, people don't know, but we have a full team stand-up on Tuesday mornings where we go line by line of every single event in the 10-day scope that we're looking at. And we go over every little detail about what's going to make that event happen and what are the backup plans with it. That's all about reliability and professionalism.
Let me just throw this scenario out here. If we didn't charge what we charge as professionals, not just explosive, just industry-wide, the best of the best, if we didn't charge what we charge, and this were a $300 DJ shift, which is sometimes what people think a DJ should get, would you give it the same level of professionalism and attention? Or would you say, you know what, it's a small party, I could probably just get somebody to stand in for me today?
Yeah, it's kind of like skin in the game at that point, right? Like, you understand the investment from top to bottom at that point. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we made it our careers. We made it our livelihood. So we are going to pour into that. And we're going to lean hard into it.
That's also an interesting thing, because when this is your career and your livelihood, there's a level of standards that you need to earn in order to live the life that, an educated hard worker should live. I mean, Dylan, you have probably, I don't know how many degrees, 3 degrees, you teach on the collegiate level. Somebody with their master's in business should be earning a very nice salary. You have chosen not to go into corporate America and to stay in the entertainment realm. Well, you still have the abilities to earn what that professional should earn. And therefore, you should be considered that way here.
It goes down to understanding what goes into pricing. And that's what we're talking about. And that's why it's important. This episode is so, so great. I can't believe we haven't gone over this sooner. Real fast, when you have a professional company that is a real firm, not someone operating out of their basement and doing it on the side, you have a lot of cost of equipment, insurance, fuel, transportation, office staff, phone lines. Like, it's a real true business, and that comes with a cost. It comes with salaries. I mean, we are responsible for putting food on the tables of a lot of our full-time staff, and that comes with the price. So
let's give some good real life examples. Like, let's just kind of run down the laundry list. And then the first couple things that come to me is the cost of trucking. The equipment doesn't just magically show up at a venue. So we can either rent a truck at $150 a day times 2 days, because it hardly ever, you really can't rely on these trucking companies. I'll call them out, Penske, U-Haul, Ryder, you guys all horrible businesses. So,
oh my God.
We need, I hope that this message gets to them. We need to rent a truck a day before, because we can't rely on showing up at 9 a.m. that a truck that we were promised would actually be there. So we rent it the day before, we pack it the day before, we show up at the job, we do the event. But a lot of time we end up coming back after midnight and we're getting billed for a third day of rental. So you're looking at, you know, truck rentals that could be $150 to $200 a day times 2 or 3 days if you're renting. The alternative is we could go out and buy a truck, which, you know, we have several. The monthly maintenance on the, well, the monthly payments on the vehicles, then the maintenance. I mean, we just recently had $2,000 worth of repairs to one of our vehicles. Like, it's the cost of doing business. We accept it, but, you know, that's what happens when you're, you know, in this industry, when you have responsibility, when you factor in the costs. We're not showing up with an SUV and a couple speakers in the back like, you know, you might when you were expecting that $200 or $300 DJ.
Okay, so we're often given a hard time about like the cost of a TV. Why does it cost $750 for the pair of TVs to be added to my event? Well, there's a lot of I can buy a TV for that much money. How are you going to rig it? How are you going to get it there? What's going to be shown on it? Do you have the media design for it? Do you have the ability to connect all of the, you know, sound and link it up and make it look good? All of that comes into play. I mean, the cost of a single truss could be $400 without a base plate or the proper rigging. So it's not just a $700 TV package that you're getting. So not just transportation, but the equipment. And then what about the person who's packing it all and making sure that it gets there without being damaged? Like, sure. You know, all of that costs money, every single aspect of it. It's actually kind of frustrating me right now because I think about all the different little line items that come with how we price out a mitzvah. And we just throw out pricing and families often say, well, that's just too much. Forget about it. And they don't even realize what it is that they're paying for.
Well, which let's take a guess. I don't think we've ever done this, but let's take a guess. What value of equipment sits in a truck going from our office to a typical bar bat mitzvah? I mean, if you were to guess, you know, it's probably about $2,000 worth of media equipment, televisions, wires, you know, trussing. There's probably $2,000 worth of lighting, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 worth of sound. So, I mean, you go down the list, not including staffing or anything else, there's probably 10 to 15 grand worth of equipment going to every single party.
On an average mitzvah, I believe that there's probably, yeah, I think you're right. I think there's like a $15,000 gear cost.
That's not, just going. We're not including video walls. We're not including photo booths.
No, this is just like, this is sound. Bare minimum. Yeah. This is bare minimum. You can't buy it.
Our most expensive photo booth, I believe, was a $10,000 investment, right? Give or take.
Yep.
You know, so these are things, and that photo booth is far superior than, you know, the iPad based photo booths that are maybe a $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 investment. So when you start thinking, you know, why do you charge what you charge? Well, I bought a $10,000 photo booth for your event. I need to start to recoup those costs.
Okay. Mike, we've talked a lot about a few different little things and they're all equally as important, but I want to end on what I believe is one of the most important aspects of understanding pricing. And that's what you have as number six. This is my opinion, perceived value. And I'm going to change that terminology, perceived value, to what are you willing to make in terms of an investment? This is an investment on your celebration. Okay. So that means that if you're going to spend $10,000 on entertainment, are you going to get more than $10,000 of fun out of your event? That's the way that I like to quantify it. are you going to get that much fun out of the event? And fun is a hard thing to like materialize in terms of value, but you got to think about it. So your perceived value of it, if you're going to say, hey, my budget is $6,000 for entertainment, but every major market entertainment company is going to, you know, average around 10,000, maybe entertainment is not the most important thing for your event then in that case. Or maybe you have to shuffle your budget around to figure out what's the most important. How often, Mike, do we hear that, you know, music and entertainment and the DJ is the most important thing to us, but it's not even close to like the top three aspects of what they're spending their, you know, their budget on.
Sure. Right. Perceived value is the right word here. Because some people have weighed the value of photo or video higher, or they weighed the value of, you know, they need this $2,000 extravagant cake because they believe cakes are worth that. But it's hard to understand what goes into entertainment. That's what the whole purpose of today's podcast was, is to educate so that the value makes sense.
So give me one line that you would tell a brand new mitzvah parent about understanding pricing. They just started. What's the one line you're going to give them?
I would, in a non-salesy way, just honestly ask, you know, how important is entertainment to you? How important is reliability and professionalism to you? And what are the factors you're looking for that are going to make your vision not only come to life, but exceed any expectations that you had? What is that worth to you?
Yeah. What's the peace of mind worth to you, knowing that it's going to happen great? I started wrapping up and then I didn't even realize one of the most important aspects of pricing anything is supply and demand. So forgive my scatterbrain this morning at 9:10 in the morning, but Mike, supply and demand, it makes every aspect of pricing relevant. Yeah. So what are your thoughts? So
let's talk about this and try to keep it concise, but I don't want to rush. There's some really, really, really great nuggets here to be shared. There's only one Dylan Weissman. And if a client wants Dylan Weissman, they're going to have to pay for Dylan Weissman, especially when they're booking him 1, 2, 3 years in advance, because chances are somebody else is going to call and ask for Dylan Weissman. And what if that first client only had a $6,000 budget? I shouldn't say only, sorry, because that still is a nice, healthy budget. But what if the next person called and had a $15,000 budget? Because we stick to our values and we're professional, as you know, we could go back to, once Dylan commits his personal Saturday in May to the Smith family, if the Jones family calls with a bigger budget, we may lose that opportunity. It's our job to try to sell somebody else on our squad. But based on supply and demand, I use Saturdays in May as a great example. That's peak time for us.
Yep.
There's only 5 or 6 MCs on our squad that are exceptional for bar and bat mitzvahs. When those 5 or 6 are sold out, we're done. We're not selling widgets and have an endless supply of widgets. So we often look at our calendar and say, is this a peak day? Is it a peak time of the year? How close are we to the event date? What is the likelihood of us getting another call for that date? And it's a gamble every time that we sign a contract, not knowing what the next phone call might be. Supply and demand is...
Well, and that's not to say, like, I want to make sure that families heard the lining on that. That's really important to them is, yeah, we consider that stuff, but if we sign a contract with you, you are our number one priority, whether you had $6,000 or $60,000, you're our number one priority for that contract. And we're going to make sure that we fulfill it. And that is really important to never, ever forget.
thank you for reasserting that. And we could go out on the limb here and say we're pretty confident that every Saturday in May, every Saturday in June, every Saturday except for Jewish holidays in September, October, we're going to be sold out. We could confidently say that. We can't confidently say that we're going to be sold out on a Sunday in February. In fact, it's very, very, very unlikely. So when we are determining pricing, the family that has the flexibility to a Sunday in February is going to get a much better deal than the family that's getting the Saturday in
May. Yeah, that's right. So if you want to take something else out of this, if you want a deal from any vendor, pick a Sunday off peak, like, you know, February or December. I mean, you're going to get a more favorable price just based on that.
And supply and demand is a big piece of that, but all of these other things that we're talking about, cost of goods sold and, you know, equipment and all of those things off peak, we save money too. So we could pass our savings on to our customers. You know, on Saturdays in peak time, we're renting extra vehicles because we don't have enough. But on a Sunday in February, we know we're not going to have to rent any extra vehicles. We may be able to even work with our staff and say, hey, it's an off-peak date. Are you willing to work for a little less? So any savings that we could pass on to a customer, we generally do. But we also ask that, you know, clients that are booking during peak season understand our hands are tied sometimes. You know, our dancers know they're going to work no matter what, you know, like, or, you know, well, let me end it there. I could keep going.
So I asked you before we got into supply and demand, the one liner for understanding pricing factor for mitzvah families. I'm going to give you mine. And I don't know if a lot of companies feel the same way that I do about this, but I know that I feel this way. And if you don't understand why something costs so much or so little, if it doesn't feel right, ask a question and let the salesperson or whoever it may be, let them explain it to you. Let them explain it to you. And if it still doesn't feel right, it probably isn't. We, Mike, you know better than anyone, we're not in this business to get super wealthy. We're in this business because we love what we do and we happen to create a living for ourselves and our family. And for that reason, I'm very confident that we're pricing fairly. And because we're pricing fairly, I have no problem peeling back the curtain and explaining to families why it is that they're being charged what it is from us. And if it still doesn't feel right after that, then you might not be the family for me, and that's okay. But it's got to feel right from that perspective. And I'm happy to spend the time to make that, to educate on that level. So my takeaway for a family who's brand new to this is don't be afraid to ask a question as to why does it cost this, that, or the other thing. And that way you can understand it. Because when you are better educated, you can make a more, a better decision for your family.
Yeah. And if I could close out with one thing, you know, we hear all the time, I want to compare apples to apples. It's darn near impossible in this industry based on all of these things that we just talked about. There is no real apples to apples comparison. Again, you're not, I'll use the term widgets. You're not buying widget one and widget two and looking at them side by side and saying, you know, what's different about these two things? In this world, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes. There's the trust value, there's the professionalism value. You know, all photo booths are not created equal. All speakers are not created equal. All talent from dancers and MCs are not created equal. When it's hard to put a side-by-side comparison on paper, but there is a difference. And I, you know, somebody said the other day, I just thought it was such a funny expression. Somebody says, you know, you're apples and apples. And he said, I'm an exotic fruit. And I thought that was just a great response. You know, like there was nothing else in his, you know, realm. So Anthony, if you're listening, I appreciated that comment. Dylan, I think this is a great podcast here.
We could talk about this stuff, and we went 40 minutes, which is 10 minutes over than our typical target. But this is going to get pinned to the top of our page, I think, because I really believe in this educational side of it. And that's what the goal of this podcast is, to educate and help, you know, make sure that families are understanding where they are when they start planning this stuff so that it becomes less intimidating. So not bad for a Friday morning in August, right?
So let's close on this one thing. I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to probably ask myself the same question. What is one tip you would share with a client to not only understand pricing, but to get the best possible price, get the most out of their money?
All right, I'm going to go on the other side of this thing and give a tip that I don't think a lot of people would have ever considered. Don't be a jerk to the salespeople. If you automatically, you know, start going in and trying to hammer for a deal, we as salespeople are already on the defensive. So if you go in with an open mind and friendly and exciting, we're more and we start liking you and you like us, we're more likely to throw more in for you. So if you want to get the best price, don't be a jerk.
But how's that one? I was thinking that before you said it, before I even posed the question, I was thinking that myself. I would say don't nickel and dime, which is probably very close to what you're saying. You know, I do think it's okay to ask for incentives. I think it's okay to say, you know, what can you do? You know, can you do any better? Or is there anything you could throw in? I'm not afraid of those questions. But I would also caution somebody is, you know, that, you know, $200 here or there, maybe even $500 in the grand scheme of it. If you feel really good about company one, but company two is $500 less, that $500 is a drop of water in the bucket compared to what you're spending on this party. And while I realize every penny counts, and I really do realize that, the comfort level that you have is probably worth more than $500. So go with your gut, not with, you know, with your wallet, but don't be afraid to ask for incentives within reason. And, you know, we didn't really beat this topic up too much, but there are things like lights or stages that, you know, we own, and it's easy to add an extra. It's not easy to add an extra person or build something from scratch, or who knows, you know, those are factors that, you know, generally have minimal wiggle room. So
that's right. Good closing tips. All right, everybody. So that's Mastering Mitzvahs, episode 123, Understanding Pricing of Entertainment. I feel as though we did a good job, but I feel like we can do a better job if we even spent more time on this. So if you have more questions about pricing factors of entertainment, or just want to hear more about this stuff, feel free to look up anything explosive at XE Events or xeevents.com. That's Mike. I'm Dylan. And until we see you next time, take care of yourselves and each other. We'll see you soon.